Welcome to the Stretch Podcast, a listening experience for self-improvers and stretchers looking to master life. Hello and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebopule, your host. I created this podcast to have conversations on matters that are closest to my heart. Matters of emotional intelligence and spiritual growth. Matters of mental and physical wellness. Matters of wealth creation and building. Matters of knowledge and wisdom of ages. Matters affecting society and dealing with social ills. As well as matters of a light-hearted nature and fun, because, you know, we've got to laugh. I will be having these conversations with guests who are experts, have experience and know-how. Guests with open heart and generous spirits. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebopule, your host. We are back. and yeah, I must say, this was long. It was longer than I thought because I expected to be back last week. I just wanted to take 2 weeks off just to recharge, but by the time we got to last week, I could tell that no, actually I'm not. We are not recharged. Let's come back the next one. And here we are. Because, you know, you only realize when you take a break that, yeah, actually I was tired. You know, I was tired of this part of my life. Because, as you know, I wear many, many hats. I teach on the other side. I do the podcast here. I write, you know, blogs or newsletters, as it were. And it's a lot on my plate. So I was tired or zoomed out of having conversations. I was just tired. In fact, the last few episodes, I could feel in my heart that, yeah, no, I guess I need to take a break. But I thought, you know, 2 weeks would be enough. But it turns out, actually, 3 weeks is just right, because you also don't want you want to rest long enough to feel well rested, like I do feel well rested, but also you don't want to take it so long that you lose the momentum. As it is, I am feeling like I'm catching my breath a lot as I'm talking, because I have not spoken this long in a while. And today I'm doing a solo. Because I don't know, you know, during the break, it just dawned to me that it's 10 years since I owned the fact that I'm a teacher and that the world of hard, cold business, you know, where I was. I mean, my last business was really in the heart of working in the hard cold of business. I mean, I was trying to establish a sales agency. So it's 10 years ago where I finally gave in to the nagging voice that has been nagging, in all honesty, from a very, very young age, that I should be teaching. I should be in the healing side of things, in the teaching spaces, in the coaching spaces, which I thoroughly just ignored, completely ignored. But interestingly, if you've read my book, book two, you would have noticed that all along, while I was still trying to do business, I was teaching. Spirit was busy just throwing me up and down so that I can actually do the work that I am here to do. So the solo I want to do today for you guys is really just to touch on, you know, what it means to own your voice or to own your space under the sun, to step into your worth, to also understand what it takes to finally be in your worth, in your calling or in your purpose. I know the word calling and purpose is just scary right now for a lot of people, especially my students, because it's loaded, eh? It's heavy. You have to find your purpose. You have to find your purpose. If I can use Max Moyo's voice, like, it's your purpose, you know? So, yeah, I want to just talk to you about some of the things, my reflections, really, what I've learned in the past 10 years. But before that, in as much as I am solo, we are going to have the second segment of the podcast where I then do that teaching. But for now, I want to do some smaller nyana promos. It's not a lot, but I just want to explain how the Stretch podcast going forward is going to run. Not too different, really, but it's going to have a more structured approach than we were. So we detected that there's a pattern because, you know, early May, I went to Johannesburg to have a strategic year in review and year ahead planning with the team. And, you know, we identified the podcast, you know, we did the SWOT analysis thing. It still works. It still works. SWOT is still the best way to determine if you are moving forward or you are lacking. So your SWOT analysis, strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. We did that and we identified some stuff with the podcast. And yeah, lots and lots of strengths. Weakness here and there, which is mostly audio, really, because a lot of my guests do not have the gadgets necessary to make the audio better, you know. And I know one of the podcasts I listen to, because it's so rich and it has money, and it is donor-based, by the way. The listeners of the podcast actually contribute. They subscribe to it. And it's purely voluntary, hey? Something that I was trying to do, but yeah, it's gonna work probably one day. Maybe it wasn't time. So this podcast host, whenever he has conversations with guests, those who don't have the mic, they courier the mic to the guest so that the audio comes across beautifully. So, you know, I'm hoping that one day we'll get to that point. But for now, I will always make sure, you know, it's my promise to you, so that we don't have audio problems. Nothing worse than that. I promise you that each guest that I get, I will try and get them to at least be on earphones and to be on the laptop. We have found that the best quality is always when the guest has earphones on the laptop. When they are on the phone, it network-wise, it gets very disturbed because, you know, Zoom does try to amplify their own audio. But when a guest is speaking directly from the laptop, it doesn't quite work. So from the iPad or the laptop, you know, one will have to have earphones. But then you get those like Sonia Booth and Melissa, you know, Melissa, the eating, the relationship with food lady. She had a mic because she's a podcast host herself. And Sonia Booth is also a podcast host. So they had the mics. And if you listen to their episodes, you will find that their audio was actually quite great, you know. So we will improve on the audio side until such time that, you know, we are a fully functioning, well-oiled machine. Okay, so how the podcast is going to work is that because I'm so broad, you know, I want that to reflect even more. It has reflected, but I wanted to reflect even more. What do I mean by that? I mean, remember how broad I am. I am interested in a lot of things. I'm interested in, first and foremost, matters of spiritual growth, spiritual awareness, spiritual awakening. Hence, I would have your Reverend Ma Sophia, Gogo Joy. I will have a lot more of those. I will have a lot of healers, Bokobela, people of other spiritual faiths, people from Islam, people from other denominations, people who are secular, who are recognizing spirit in other ways. We are going to have a lot of those so that we can stretch and understand, you know, and grow, which is why I'm so happy with the name Stretch. I mean, it just, you know, it just works. So the spiritual aspect of the podcast is going to remain. We will also have emotional growth, emotional intelligence segment. There is similar to spiritual, but not really. There I'm talking about coaches, you know, where I'll have a relationship coach like Joe and similar. Obviously, relationships are always on the cards. So Joe is going to be definitely on the cards, and people like her who are on spiritual, I mean, on relationship coaching, personal growth, personal brands, certain habits, burnout. There is a coach that I'm eyeing, someone that I know actually personally. I just need to reach out to her, Judy Clippin, who is an expert. She's a coach, she's a life coach, but she specializes in burnout and, you know, what to do when you are burning out, you corporate people out there who are overworking. My hand is also up because I'm always sort of prone to burning out and chronic fatigue. There's another one, Kate, who is into clutter, you know, who will help you understand what your hoarding and clutter really says about you. So we'll have those, you know, body coach, body healer and stuff like that. We'll also focus, have social and societal matters, you know, important days. I mean, just when we were closing, we had a conversation with William Goldstone on Freedom Day. So those days that are important in the country, I will not ignore. If there is a guest who can talk really to them, I will have the guest. We are also in an election year, so a local government election year. Local government, you know, I'll have a guest who's going to talk on, you know, why it is so important. So I don't want to be completely tone deaf to what's happening in the country for real. But I want to also stick to some of the things that really are important to me. Did you hear? Did you like? Wait. I mean, why did I even start there? Did you like the new intro? The new intro. I am your host, Lebo Pule. I know we needed to change that a bit, you know, just to reflect that the podcast is growing. We will obviously have the entrepreneur, wealth creation, money, business, the world of work. Boss Piwe Moyo, he will come back. Bofusi Mutawung, he'll come back. You know, Bo Lebo Lion, I might have her back, Hetty the entrepreneur. So those are important because, especially with, you know, what COVID has done and to change people's lives so drastically. So we can't not talk about that. Also because, you know, one has been an entrepreneur most of her life, you know. Another introduction that we are bringing in the podcast is services that will be paid. So for an example, here's an example. I will have a conversation, let's say with Gogo Joy or with Reverend Ma Sophia or with Hetty the entrepreneur on, we'll have probably 6 episodes on a masterclass type of thing so that you can understand. For an example, let me use Gogo Joy because she's easy. She's easy because we spoke about it, where, you know, Gogo Joy will help you understand what is ancestry, who should Twasa and who shouldn't, what Twasaring mean, what are your gifts, what dreams mean, those type of things. So we'll have it as a podcast series where she's having a conversation with me, but she is teaching and I am also teaching and adding my 2 cents. Which is more than 2 cents. And then that series will be packaged such that you can buy it because it's now, it's our work, you know. You can buy it. It won't be an arm and a leg. I mean, it will be a really, really affordable amount. I saw this concept happening quite a bit in the podcast world overseas because I am in the podcast world, so I need to know how things work. Where they will be selling a 6-part series or a 6-episode or 8-episode for $14 or $30. And we are talking between 250 to 450. So those amounts, you see what I'm saying? So if you are interested in Gogo Joy's work and you want to understand it even deeper, we can just do those episodes. And you can purchase those, you know, and you keep it on your phone And kanjalo, I can probably do the same with Joe, do the same with Mduduzi, Luthuli, and stuff like that. So those series will be paid for. So when we've recorded those, we'll let you know that, okay, this is a series. It is 350. All you do is click, pay, download, and you listen at your own time under the Stretch Podcast. So that's coming. Let's see the time, because I really don't want to prolong this because I have a teaching to do. Let me just a few more minutes. Stretch School, in terms of promo, Stretch School, we have Stretch Express. If you are on the newsletter, you would have seen the flyer. You would have registered to join. Stretch Express is a hybrid of the Stretch School. This is where I just compress some of the teachings from the main program and a little bit more. So Stretch Express is meant to serve really two purposes. It's for former stretchers who want to refresh and get a bit deeper in the work, and new people who have been wanting to join Stretch, but somehow they're scared. They don't know if they can commit to something as long as 7 months, even 3 months, even 1 month. You know, it's sometimes it's time, sometimes it's money, sometimes it's just fear of the unknown. So Stretch Express is meant to alleviate those fears, because it's going to be Zoom classes on a Saturday. There'll be a specific topic I am teaching on, and you just attend that Saturday. Also not too expensive. I've made it very affordable so that you don't really have an excuse. If you can't, then I know then how badly. Then it means it's really not for you, and that's okay. But I am trying to, or rather we are trying to make Stretch as accessible as possible, because one of the things we probably identified is that it looks, you know, it's too exclusive in that 7 months. Who has 7 months? And obviously there's a fee, and you know, there's just one model. It's either you join the 7 months or you don't. So we are breaking things up. So Stretch Express is one of the models to get you to understand what it is that I teach. So if you are new, and you attend a Saturday school, I will obviously ask if there's anyone new so that I can, you know, bring it to our level, so that I don't, you know, use too much terminology as per for, you know, for the alumni. They call themselves the alumni. Okay, so Stretch Express, go to my site. If you are on the newsletter, like I say, you'd have seen it. We will advertise on the socials as well, so you can understand what Stretch Express and the Zoom series that I'm doing now in June, what they're about. Excuse me. Okay, you know when you have like a sneeze, like there's a sneeze that's about to come and then suddenly it's gone. Yeah, that's what was happening there. Excuse me for that. The other things in the promo side, it's, I mean, Lebopule TV, please do subscribe to that, my YouTube channel. We are nearly done with the evergreens. Wait and see what comes up next. You're gonna enjoy it. So the Lebopule TV is going to be series of my teachings in a different format. I'll have, you know, your 12-part, 8-part series on something specific, including some of the stuff I do at Stretch in a way, you know. What else? Newsletter, subscribe, please. The books are available, guys. I really don't know what more to say there. It's easy to get. It's on my site. Everything is on my site. Everything is on my site. And I have three sites. It's the LP Lebupule website, Stretch School, and Stretch Podcast. So everything is on site. All right, let's take a little break, and then I will come back with 10-year reflections and stepping into your worth. Let's take a little break.
Personal growth coaching or life coaching has become an accepted alternative for anyone seeking guidance in order to overcome obstacles, difficulties, and healing caused by past traumas. It is also the most effective tool to use when you want to achieve desired goals, regain confidence, self-love, self-esteem, and self-worth in order to be the best version of yourself. Lebopule, a natural teacher, has been coaching for over 8 years. Using ancient wisdom and knowledge, she's able to gently and firmly guide or coach you through whatever struggle you or faced with. Her natural talent to connect deeply and teach others has seen her helping many over the years. Book your first coaching conversation with her now at bookings@lebobule.co.za.
All right, let us now get into the teaching of the day, my reflections on the past 10 years. You know, I haven't done a solo teaching on the podcast in a while, so if I'm a bit rusted, please forgive me. But I do have my notes in front of me so that I don't go off on a tangent as I usually do. But if I do go on a tangent today, it will be worth it. It will be worth the tangent as usual. You know, the beauty of having notes, and I preach this all the time to some of the people I'm coaching who sort of want to do what I do, that have a structure. Even if you are gifted in speaking from your heart or off the cuff, have notes so that you can come back, because going off on a tangent is exactly that. You go off on a tangent and you don't know where you are, and it's very hard to return. So when you have your notes, you know that, oh, I was here, and then you return. So I do have my notes. I want to share this because, you know, as we were doing our own year in review and year ahead, planning with my team, you know, around all the things that I do, the podcast, the school, the newsletter, the Lebobule TV, the books, you know, all this huge empire or institution that I'm creating. It sort of dawned to me in the meeting that, yo, but, you know, I've come a long way. I've really come a long way. And the more I delved deeper into where was I? Where was I 2 years ago? Where was I 5 years ago? Where was I 10 years ago? And as you guys know, I mean, you know, the regulars of the podcast, as you know, 45 is a very scary age for me. It's the first age that has really just got me unsettled ever in my life. So I started thinking that when I was 35, where was I? And did I even envision that at 45, I would be here? And so I started thinking of if you had told the 35-year-old me in 2011, yes, I was 35 in 2011, because I'm 45 in 2021. If you had said to me in 2021, you will be at the early stages of building something quite interesting, you know, an institution of some sort, I would have believed the institution part, but I was going to be very surprised at why the early stages. Why would it be in the early stages? Obviously, I am not in foundation stage. We have long passed the foundations of what I'm trying to create, but we are still quite early in building. So had you told me that, I was going to say, but why early? And the reason would have been because at 35, believe it or not, and when I was in Joburg recently at home, I saw a picture of me looking the way I was like, oh my God, I was this person. Believe it or not, I was a stiletto wearing pencil skirt, white shirt, jacket, wearing person with high heels. And this picture that I saw at home, and I forgot to take a picture of it because I wanted to take a picture of it. It's in a frame. I was one of the guest speakers out in Motherland at an institution. But how can I forget this institution? But I was giving a talk on youth, to the youth, about this and that. I think probably it was entrepreneurship. And believe it or not, in that picture, I am wearing red stilettos, high heels, not tricota, like proper high heels, and they were red in color. And that 35-year-old me would generally wear business pants, pencil skirts, dresses, it's a business, you know, those ones of pearls, the one that goes with pearls. I remember when I had a conversation with Zama Mkosi last year, and she's like, and you used to wear pearls, Lebo. I wanted to be a businesswoman so much in 2011 that I looked the part. I mean, look-wise, I looked the part, but I was, in reality, your typical struggling entrepreneur. You know, if you know what a struggling entrepreneur is, I was a typical one. I was hustling like nobody's business. Hence, my second book is called From Hustling to Healing. And I wasn't winning in the hustle, but I believed so much that I will become this person. I will be on the Forbes, on the cover of Forbes magazine, standing next to Oprah and the Pope. Yeah, that's what I had in mind. So had you told me that, no, girl, at 45, you would be in the early stages of starting something quite magnificent, and you would be at your happiest in terms of the work, you would have found your real authentic voice and power, and you would have finally accepted your calling and your purpose as a teacher, I was going to raise an eyebrow. I was going to not believe you, because in my opinion, at 35, at 45, I am playing golf. I've gone way past the millions, you know, I'm a multi-millionaire, you know, and I have my business having branches all over Africa, all over the African continent. And I am not in any way starting anything. If anything, at 45, I imagined I would have had a new title in my many titles, and that title would have been Ghana King, this thing that people do. You know, it's just at the tip of my tongue. Philanthropist. I would be a philanthropist at 45. But yeah, as life would have it, it didn't go that way. And, you know, here's what's interesting. And if you read my book too, you know, From Hustling to Healing, you know this story, because I describe in detail how, you know, LPBN, my business, was dying every year. You know, as a business person, as an entrepreneur, each year you want to grow, you want to scale, you want to get to a place where you are so attractive to investors and you get investments and all that. My business, each year it was dying. So in 2011, it was the second year. So I was still very, very hopeful, because I had started it in 2010. I was still very hopeful. But if I were to be deeply, deeply honest with myself, because, you know, hindsight, they say hindsight is 2020. My heart was not really in the business I was trying to create. And the business was a sales agency. Again, you'd have to really read the book, because I don't want to spend time talking about that, because it's in the book. I just want to talk about my reflections of 10 years, you know. And if I were to be very honest with myself in hindsight, already in 2011, my heart was already not okay with it. And it manifested in me spending a lot of my time elsewhere. I was spending an awful lot of time teaching and informing and becoming the light, guess where, on Facebook. But because I was so hell-bent on becoming the businesswoman, my teaching on Facebook, I did not even think it's a thing. And remember, in 2011, I was starting to become Lebubule on Facebook. I had joined Facebook in 2009, but by 2011, my name and my voice were starting to sort of... and it wasn't only that, really. I also did have some mainstream media appearances. I had been on SAFM, on Kai FM. So I wasn't green, you know. I wasn't an unknown hakholu, but my voice was rising in social media. I was teaching, I was raising issues on gender, on feminism and politics, socioeconomics, but I was also teaching. I mean, I had What Life is Teaching Me Monday, where I would just be pouring my heart out on lessons learned. And guess where those lessons were learned? Because at 22, I had started reading all these deep spiritual books, these self-help books. You know, I had read almost all of Ian La's books, Bo Caroline Mees, Bo Wayne Dyer, The Alchemist, The Seat of the Soul. You name any book that is a classic in spiritual teachings, I had read it. So I was pouring those things out. And you guys, if you've been following the podcast for a while and you come with me from way back in Facebook, you know, I mean, I would share really deep things, but I wasn't aware that this is where my life is actually wanting to go. You know, that classical thing of life is what happens when you're busy doing other things. Now I was hell-bent on just building this a huge institution called Lebopile Business Networks that was going to improve the lives of entrepreneurs by enhancing their sales teams and all that. You'll have to read the book. But simultaneously, I'm busy teaching on Facebook, but I'm not taking that seriously at all. And 2012, the voice is growing. I'm teaching even more. 2013, oh no, I am Lebopile now. I'm aus Lebu. Hey? You know how when things just turn, when people just start naming you, people start giving you a particular name, calling you a brand before you even knew what it was. I mean, a friend of mine, Fusi, who was a guest on the podcast, you know, once asked me that, did you even notice you were becoming a brand? And I remember saying, no, we were having coffee somewhere at Hyde Park. And I'm like, honestly, and this is about 2013. I'm lying. It was 2014 because it was after the release of my first book. And she's like, but he's like, did you even notice that you are Lebopile now? You're not Lebo. And I'm like, no, I didn't actually see it coming. And that's how things generally unfold. You know, you don't see what you are becoming. And I think it's deliberately done like that. I think the universe deliberately makes you not see who you are so that it doesn't actually shock you. It's the same thing of not God not showing you your entire future right now. Because if God shows you what you're going to be 10 years from now, if I were to know without a shadow of a doubt that at age 55, this and this and this would have happened, it may shock the system so much to think of the hurdles and the challenges and the whatever that I would have to go through to achieve whatever light that I am going for. So you can't see who you are going to become. And a lot of people are trapped in this trap of wanting to know. I want to know what I'll be in 5 years. And we do all sorts of things planning it. We plan it to the T. Because if you read the book, if you read book two, you will see how precise I was. I knew backwards. I had a business plan. Remember, it was my second business. So I was determined that it can't fail, which is why the failure of that business was so devastating for me. It really hit hard, almost harder than when Exquisite Interiors, my first business, blew up in my face, because LPBN never really took off. It was a stillbirth in a way. You know, it never really became anything except for beautiful logos and a long list of potential clients. And the clients that I did have, you know, very funny, were enhancing my teaching side, my teaching and healing side, more than the thing that I wanted to do. And that's just how unique and incredible the universe or God's work can be. And that's, I suppose that's what, you know, the Bible means when it says that I have plans for you, that, you know, something along those lines, that I have plans that you cannot even imagine. You know, I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you, which then talks to, yeah, you can plan, you can do yours, but I have my own plan. And because we generally resist the universe, and it's also, that whole resistance is also part of the lesson, by the way, it's part of the path. You must resist. you must resist. And yeah, let me actually spend a little bit of time on this resistance. Anyone who says, oh yeah, I'm accepting my calling, I'm ready to be this, that's not it. If you think of anyone who's anybody who has achieved certain things and owned up to their calling, you'd find that in the beginning, if you go deep into their story, you find that they resisted it a lot. I mean, I don't know why biblical examples comes to mind, but I suppose because I am in a teaching mode, that tends to happen a lot. If you think of the story of Jonah of Nineveh, Jonah was running. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh to go spread the word of God or to teach and to help. Jonah was on the run, like, I ain't doing this. And because, you know, the whole being swallowed into the belly of the fish is obviously not real. I mean, it's a mythical story, but it's a metaphor for, it will take God's plans or the universe plans or your ancestors' plans will get you there. Naganjani. So the whole metaphor of the fish swallowing you and you're in the dark in the belly of the... And again, the metaphor of being in the belly of the fish in the dark talks to, obviously, being in the womb, you know, where a new you is developing. So the Jonah that was swallowed from the town that he was to be dropped off at Nineveh was a literally new creation, was a new Jonah. And that's why he was able to teach and to save the people of God, you know. So you resist these things. You always say no. Moses, another one. No, I am not worthy, Father, Lord. I'm not worthy. I can't even speak. He had all sorts of excuses to say, I won't be able to do this. I stutter. I'm not strong. I have a history with the Pharaohs, because if you know the Moses story, he was raised by the Pharaohs. I have a history, this baggage. It's just, I won't be able to face them. Resist, resist, resist. Baba ling ready ba. Ay. Another example closer to home, to Twasa. The people who are ready, who are supposed to Twasa, and Gogo Joy is going to unpack this for us. The people who are meant to Twasa are the runners. They run a mile. They resist and run for years before they accept the calling. The people who are meant to be entrepreneurs, they hang on hard and tight in corporate because they're damn scared. So I resisted the whole teaching thing. I didn't even want to be called a motivational speaker. Can you believe it? But in a way, I was motivating because I used to get a lot of invites to speak and I would take them. But I wanted, for me, it was like, I'm just doing this because I know a lot about this topic. So that's why they called me. But I'm not a motivational speaker. And for me today to own proudly the name teacher, because a lot of people don't call themselves teachers. They can say coach or healer, because there's, you know, it's easy to say healer. It's apparently softer than saying teacher. Like, what? And for me, it's very hard for me to call myself a healer, because I feel that we facilitate people's healings. We don't actually heal them. So when you say teacher, I am able to teach you in order for you to facilitate your own healing. But I have no problem with the name healer. So some people call me healer or teacher interchangeably. I don't resist it, but I self-identify as a teacher. So for me to finally self-identify as a teacher, it took literally 6 years from that year, from 2011. So at 35, I'm busy teaching. 36, I'm teaching on Facebook, like giving a ton of knowledge and information. I mean, sometimes I look back and I'm thinking, where, Jehovah, where did that energy come from? Because right now, I can never do what I did. If you don't know me from Facebook, I used to have very, very, very intense posts, sometimes maybe 3 times a day. And those intense posts were engaged. And I used to engage you know, back when Facebook was Facebook, not now with very crazy algorithms where everyone is copying everyone. I mean, I don't care who you are, but Facebook is incredibly toxic right now, and it has a lot of vampire energy. People are there for themselves, and people are there to grab. You know, you get bored energy. People who come on Facebook because they're bored. They just want to see what's happening, what's funny, what's going on. And people who want to take other people's work, because there are a lot of healers and teachers on Facebook. And unfortunately for us, the healers and teachers on Facebook, we don't have time to be bored, because Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and LinkedIn is a space where we do our work. We work there. So you can imagine working in an office that is always crowded. How can I office in Khotletse batho? You don't know where to sit. So that's how it feels like. Hence, you know, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record. If you are in my field, create a newsletter or a blog post where you can take your potential customers, your potential tribe, people who are working with you, people who are genuinely your supporters, people who will buy things from you and not expect you to just give all the time. I mean, as teachers and healers, we are naturally givers. We give a ton. It comes with the package. But we also live in this world where if you walk into Woolies, you can't say, I'm a teacher, so give me this chicken or this broccoli for free. So we live in this world where Caesar, you know, you give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So at some point we have to sell. And you know, which is why I appreciate Instagram so much, because Instagram does not have that frowned upon look when you are selling. Because a lot of people on Instagram are hustling, they're pushing their agendas, they're selling their stuff, they're showcasing their work. Not so much on Twitter and Facebook, not so much. So get your people onto a space where you will have them in their emails. And so I resisted. I really, really did. I remember also, man, 2013, 2014, a lot of people saying to me, Lebs, you need to charge for these things. You know, you're giving a lot free. And I'm like, what? I was so aggressive about the thought of charging. Like, what? And that time I'm doing so much. I have people writing in to me on inbox. People just pouring their house. I mean, I would get over 20 inbox a day of trauma. You know, remember We've Got Mail? I used to have a thing called We've Got Mail. And I would, you know, before We've Got Mail gets onto my personal wall, because, you know, we'd engage the audience to help whoever is anonymous and having that issue. Before I even do that, I'm already dealing with that person on the inbox. Many people. Where I'm trying to help. Some of the traumas and the stories never made it to the wall because I just felt it was just too sensitive. Where I would create my own personal intervention, which is why Dr. Cindy's loss is such a big loss, because I would refer a lot of people to her. Again, Cindy was also just another incredible spirit who would talk to someone on WhatsApp without knowing them and help and follow up. Incredible. It's a big, big loss, Dr. Cindy. So I would resist, like, what? Nah, I can't charge. No, I can't charge. Until I think it was 2015 when I was starting to get disillusioned. And I remember writing a post saying, I feel like I'm a snake shedding my skin again. I'm growing again. And I was in the most uncomfortable of spaces. I was in what I normally refer to as liminal space. You know, if you are any of my students, you will know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about liminal space. I was in liminal space in that I knew that I can't work in corporate. In fact, let me just backtrack a bit. By age 36, which was what year? It was, if I'm 35, 2011, 2012, when I could tell that no, LPBN is really and honestly and truly not working anymore. I still pushed it a little bit more, but I also simultaneously started writing my first book, Alone One. I started writing it seriously, and I had started writing it in 2008, but then I stopped. And then in 2012, 2012 in particular, I would hustle my sales business and it would really not work out. And in the evenings, I would get onto that manuscript and start writing because I had a strong call to say, write a book, write your story, write about your failure, I mean, you have so much to share and you can't share it on Facebook, only write. So I would write. 2012, I spent it writing. And most of 2013, got a publisher, did the back and forth with the publisher. And 2014, end of 2013, the book was nearly ready. And 2014, by the time book one, Alone Book One, was ready in 2014, I was already sort of in giving up more, not giving up. I had already accepted that LPBN is not working, but I was sort of in limbo, And 2015, that limbo was so magnified because I didn't know now what to do. It's easy, guys, to not accept that something is wrong. It's easy to be in denial. And denial has its purpose, eh? It's got its role. You must be in denial so that for a while, so that you can come to terms with what's happening. By the time you accept, okay, this is happening, you are slightly better emotionally to can deal with it. So now that I've admitted that I bereki business, now I have to deal with the fact that what now? What now? Again, guys, really, you'd have to read the book because I share all that in book two. And 2015, I'm disillusioned, and that voice that says this is what you're supposed to be doing, and I'm still resisting. But you're supposed to teach. You need to be teaching. And 2016, what was happening? I turned 40, and we all know 40 does its things. Although 40 didn't hit me as hard as 45. I started getting a bit more comfortable with the idea of charging, and I would send signals to my list, not listeners, I didn't have listeners then, to my audience on Facebook that, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to charge. And Ekubeni, I had already started doing events, charging for events, and I was charging a little bit for people that I coach, like ridiculous amounts of money, like a very, very low fee. A far cry from what I charge now for coaching. I mean, coaching is my most expensive service right now. But back then, oh my God, I was just charging so that I can buy bread, if you know what I mean, so that I don't starve. And yeah, end of 2016 was the time where I took the bit the bullet and say, yeah, I'm going to actually own myself as a teacher. I had already started calling myself a teacher. I wasn't principal yet. The name principal came from my students, my stretchers, my hundreds and hundreds of stretchers who embraced me as a teacher, and they call me principal. And it's always beautiful when it comes from other people, when it comes from your people, and they give you, it's like they ordain you. You don't come out and say, I am. You don't come out and say, I am the brand. You know those Instagram pages where it's a person's name, Lerato the brand? Yeah, it's always sweeter when you are given, you know. So, yeah, 2017 is when I started Stretch, which means it literally took me 6 years to own up to who I am. And I'm wrapping up just now because I want to just leave you with some pearls, in case you are also struggling to own your voice, struggling to own your power, struggling to understand what life is doing, what God is doing. You're busy trying to do this, but God says, Yeah, you need to be a gardener. You know, I'm reminded of one of my closest friends, Mandy Maifadi, who is the woman behind the famous Naledi Farm. Oh, Naledi Farm is, if you haven't been to Naledi Farm, guys, make time. Put it in your bucket list. And Mandy shares a story that I love so much that, you know, she's a scientist by profession. She used to work for Department of Health, National Department of Health. And she says, Lebo, by 2015, also she and I went through the same process in time-wise, because she also started Naledi Farm in 2017, where they like, officially, we are opening our house to people. We are ready to receive you, which is their slogan. She says, every time I turn on that corner of Schoeman and Schubert or whatever, somewhere in Pretoria, tears would involuntarily come. I would cry. Eventually I had to leave because I'm a scientist. I am well, I'm quite senior, but spirit says, "Iya gardening, go to the garden." And again, Mandy also resisted for a long time. There's that resistance, because that resistance talks to humility to a certain extent. It talks because you ask yourself, who am I to be a teacher for real? Also other fears, it talks to other fears. But at the deep, deep spiritual level, it's who am I? You know, who am I to do this? And as I'm saying this, I'm thinking of the other one, you know, but it talks to a completely different level, where Jesus said, Romanna, you know, that's a different category. And I'll probably, when I do another solo, I'll do that. How it becomes that you say Romanna. In fact, you must have owned who you are. Like now that I'm owning that I'm a teacher, I am at the Romanna stage, but you must resist first. Yeah. So it taking 6 years and a lot of years of giving for free was about honing that skill, you know, getting into the role of a teacher, get into the role, grow into it. You know, hence we have a phrase that says, you know, you have to grow into the shoes. You know, when someone leaves a big position, and then a new person comes in, we always say that, oh, you have such big shoes to fill. And it's big shoes so that you can what? You can grow into them. You must grow into them. You don't come already fitting in the shoes. Otherwise, that's not your role. You're too big for it. If you fit the shoe, you are too big for it. You must grow into it. Coaches, I mean, a lot of my clients are coaches and a lot of my students are coaches, and some of them would come to me and say, you know, yes, I have the coaching qualification. Yes, I'm an internationally acclaimed coach, but yo, I am really struggling. And I'm like, no, because you think, and it's not your fault. Just because you have the qualification, it doesn't mean that you will be comfortable coaching or you'll be the best coach immediately. You have to grow into the role, because that growth path, that honing path, is shaping the coach that you uniquely are. You get to find out what actually you are good at, you as a coach, what makes you a different coach, because you got a qualification which is a standard. A lot of people who are coaches got the same qualification from the same institution. You need to then become the coach, and that takes a while. So I always comfort them. Hornos, don't worry. Remain true, remain open, remain curious, and listen. Listen to spirit. Listen to what it wants you to be. And I remember back in the, I think it was 2013, I was part of the VUCA Entrepreneurial Advisory Board, you know, where we would advise entrepreneurs. I mean, it was, you know, a small pool of us who were entrepreneurs, and we wanted to advise other entrepreneurs because, you know, we have been in it for a while and we know a thing or two. And believe it or not, in that board, I was that advisor that, you know, while Bo Roche, Libo Nicolette, Antoinette and Lucas were checking, you know, the balance sheet and whatever, I was that advisor that says, how are you? You don't seem okay. What's happening at home? And the entrepreneur would just burst out crying. Because that's what spirit was telling me to do. That, hey man, this over and above an entrepreneur, there's a person. Kimoto. So yes, you have to grow into that role and become the coach. And it takes a while. And you also must allow for liminal space to happen. You know, liminal space is when you don't know what you are doing. You don't know. Liminal space comes from... I got this phrase from Father Richard Rohr, and it's the space where you have left something or you have left the familiar, but you haven't really reached your destination, and you are in that middle space where you don't know. Where I was in 2015, I was in liminal space because I didn't know now what. I am officially not running that business anymore. Sure, I've got a book. I'm an author at least. And the book sales are helping, you know, financially. But what am I? Where am I? And it took liminal space lasted from 2015 to 2017 when I was like, okay, I'm starting the school. Even starting the school, it wasn't, in my mind, it wasn't the school. I wanted to just formalize the teachings and get paid for it. That's it. I just want to formalize the teachings and get paid. And as I was doing that, it became clearer and clearer that actually formalize it even more. Create and start a school. Okay. So my friends, without prolonging this, I will come back as a solo again. I'm actually enjoying this. I didn't realize I missed it. You must grow into the role. You will resist it, and you will get to a point where you accept it, and you will and must grow into it. I remember one of my mentors, Ausman Lalala, you know, and I'm thinking about her now because she recently just resigned from as board chair at Denel. The drama in Denel. Shoo, my God. But she's still currently the Royal Bafokeng chairperson. But when she was still managing director at Airports Company, we were having coffee this one time at Melrose Arc at the Royal Bafokeng offices. And she said to me, Lebo, I was at Airports Company for 10 years, but I can confidently say that I started feeling like I am the managing director on year 7. Year 7, guys, the first 5 years, she says, limbo, liminal space, trying this, trying that, learning, humbling yourself, making mistakes, listening, learning. And only by the 6, 7 years did I start feeling comfortable. And then the 8th, and then the 9th, I was starting to feel like I need to hand over. And then after 10 years, she left. No wonder she's a chairperson of many boards. Because she's very, very senior. So you grow into a role. You don't, just because you have accepted, yeah, I'm a healer. Oh, yeah, I'm a teacher. Then you'll master. No. Even now, which is why I'm so excited about Stretch Express. You guys who were taught by me in 2017, 2018, 2019, you will not recognize the teacher I have become now. You're actually going to be very happy with the growth. And not that I was bad back then, but you know, life is about forward movement, refinement. I'm refined. Even the solo episodes of the Stretch podcast, if you listen to the first one and you listen to this one, I am refined because you grow into it. We are in a process of becoming. So it takes a lot of time to step into your worth, to own your power. Some of the reasons why it takes a lot of time is that in that period, in that 6-year period of me resisting and fighting, I was also having to deal with my issues, my root chakra problems, you know, resisting to charge. No, I can't charge. Root chakra issues, survival issues, dealing with the trauma of my two failed businesses. And to a certain extent, I'm still dealing with those things. You know, we are constantly in the process of healing. But yeah, when you are in that space where you are becoming the thing, you must be dealing with and healing some of your issues, some of your worst behaviors, letting go of things that used to serve you, that no longer serve you, so that you become the coach, you become the healer, you become the teacher, you become the entrepreneur. For change to happen, you must actually change, you know? And it has to cost you something. There's an Instagram poster that I shared on my Instagram stories that I loved so much. And I just don't remember it verbatim. And I can't look at my phone now. And it said something like, you see, the problem is that you want to succeed or you want to achieve your goals or you want to find your purpose. But at no cost. You don't want to pay with your time, with your energy. It should not cost you anything, but you want it. And that for me is the biggest problem that I find with the people I teach and coach, that it's almost like, you know, to use a cliche quote, a cliche phrase, you want to go to heaven, but you don't want to die. And the only path to heaven is dying. You need to die to who you were. You need to die to what you used to be in order to be the teacher, the coach, the whatever. So I was reflecting then on the past 10 years that, right now I am still in the early stages of developing and building whatever I'm building, but I am at a stage where I am humbled enough by life and my past failures and just the process of how life goes and growth, that I don't want to hold on too tightly to, it has to be the school, I would love for it to be. But I'm also willing to be wowed and surprised by the plans of God. Probably God has something even, and that's how it works. I mean, anyone who succeeds, and I like to use the story of Trevor Noah. Trevor Noah says, all I wanted was just to have a big house and a dope car. And Trevor has a big house and a dope car. And 1,000 times more. That's how God rewards you. That's what divine compensation is. Because divine compensation is not, I was teaching this in the class not so long ago. Divine compensation is not being paid. Like, let's say I give you a service, you join my school and you pay a fee. That's not divine compensation. That's a reciprocation. That's an exchange of energy. I give you this, you pay me. Divine compensation is when you get compensated for the 6 years, the 10 years, all the free lessons I was giving, all the things that you didn't know why you are doing them. staying the cause, staying the path, trusting, going through the Job process. All those trials, you get divinely compensated for that, and it will wow you. It's when you want a big house and a dope car and then get international fame and surpass so many people and become a multimillionaire, which looks like it's overnight and it wasn't. So you get divinely compensated. So I am I'm at a stage where I'm not even expecting that, if you know what I'm trying to say. I don't even expect, if I reach 70 and I just mildly touched people and manage to at least live well, because that I ask. I really ask the universe and God that, can I actually live well? You know, can I be well taken care of so that I don't betray the work? Because we betray the work if you struggle too much. You know, struggle is great because you need to struggle, but too much struggle can kill you, you know. It can erode you. It can really make you bitter. So what I pray for every morning is, can the struggle not be too long and not too much? You know, can I live well at least so that I can serve, you know, Romana, but kopa on romelis kaftin. Kopa on romelis kaftin, then it's kava porotele paloni. Can we have a proper lunchbox, please? Yeah. So I'm not even in that space where like, yeah, I'm going to be divinely compensated. Even if it doesn't happen, I'm fine, because I'm okay with the work that I'm doing. I'm okay that I have found this thing. Oh, I'm a teacher. And it puts a smile in my face to say that. I'm an author, which is part of teaching, because I'm writing books that are meant to help you. I am creating all these platforms, a podcast, a newsletter where I write and I teach every week in my own way. And I teach every day at Stretch School. And I teach every week via the newsletter. And I teach every week via the podcast. And I teach every week via the Lebopule TV. And I will teach and teach with the books that I will write, because I have embodied and I'm owning the role. What comes after, or what comes with it, I am prepared to be wowed by the universe. I'm ready. If it doesn't wow me, you know what? Maybe next lifetime. And that's where my headspace is at right now. I am at that space where I am saying, Romana. Maybe we should call this episode Romana. Hey, Tsepo. It's fine. Leave it as reflections. That's it, my friends. I didn't want to prolong this. Yeah, it's just around 40, 45 minutes. I think let's close it here. Hopefully, I'll bring you another solo some other time. But I have a lot more in store for you. Beautiful, beautiful conversations. I had a beautiful conversation with our first guest next week. First guest since my return next week. Oh, you're going to be blown away. She's a returnee, but, you know, she's a first guest in that I'm back. But she's one of those that are returning. And oh, my word. Be ready to be stretched. Be ready to be stretched. We are back, my friends. And I hope this was helpful. I hope you will look at your life and reflect. What are you becoming? What are you stepping into? Are you, where are you? Are you at resistant mode? Have you accepted? Are you in liminal space? As for where you are going, where will you be in 10 years? My friend, take it from me. I thought I would be a multimillionaire on Forbes magazine. Instead, I'm in this small town in the Karoo. Twasaring. Kya twasa mo. Kya dlala, you don't take me seriously. I get twasa. I don't have a kobela. I'm twasaring in other ways, I suppose. Let me leave it here, my friends. I wish you love and all green lights, as always.
If you enjoy the Stretch podcast and want to support us, you can do so by sharing any episode with your friends, family, or colleagues. You can send Lebo a voice note with your thoughts, questions to the guests, and overall commentary. The voice note option can be found on our website, stretchpodcast.co.za. You can also contribute any amount of money via Stretch Podcast Support, found on our website, stretchpodcast.co.za. Simply click on the pod support. Thank you, and see you again next week for another episode of the Stretch Podcast.